A parent is suing the Eau Claire Area School District after students learn of a teacher's gender-affirming surgery. It's Wednesday, July 26th. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning. I'm Alex Crow. Coming up, a Jefferson County resident wants the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources to overturn when people have the right to use public waterways. Danielle Kading will have that story. And the Green Bay Packers have a new acquisition, the rights to the iconic foam cheesehead. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
Some Eau Claire parents are upset that the school district did not inform them before telling students that a middle school teacher is planning gender-affirming surgery. Corrine Hess reports that one mother has decided to sue.
Leah Bachman has four children in the Eau Claire School District. She says she still doesn't know exactly what her children were told when they learned one of their teachers was planning gender-affirming surgery. Bachman filed an open records request, but it was denied.
How am I, as a parent, supposed to help them navigate this, you know, given no notice prior to this meeting, still not having any knowledge on what was said? This just to me is just a big reflection on how this was mishandled.
Officials at the Eau Claire Area School District say the matter is under formal investigation to determine if there were any missteps in school district policy. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A Wisconsin man was among the three American soldiers who were found dead in North Carolina this past weekend. Tanner Kaltenberg of Madison was found dead at a North Carolina gas station along with two others. They were all Marine Lance Corporals from Camp Lejeune. Sheriff's deputies found the three men unresponsive Sunday morning in a privately owned car at a Speedway gas station in Hampstead. Medical authorities pronounced them dead the same day. Their cause of death has not been released. The men were motor vehicle operators with the 2nd Marine Logistics Group. Officials believe the West Dallas Fire Department is the first in the state to offer a medication aimed at treating an opioid use disorder. Buprenorphine is used to fight withdrawal symptoms and can help people with addiction avoid returning to opioids. Jeremy Triblett is a prevention manager with the Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Division. He says trained members of the department can hand out the first few doses to patients when responding to an overdose call.
It allows people to begin their recovery journey, if they so wish, where they are at that moment until they are referred to a clinic or another space that allows them to take the next step.
The state approved the use of the medication by first responders and paramedics last year. The department is partnering with Milwaukee County and the Medical College of Wisconsin in the initiative. A lawsuit filed against the Department of Natural Resources seeks to overturn the agency's guidance on when people have the right to use public waterways. As Danielle Kading reports, a waterfront property owner argues it's an unlawful policy that expands public access on his land.
Jefferson County resident Thomas Rice is suing the DNR over documents that say people can use public water bodies as long as they keep their feet wet. The DNR protects people's rights to use navigable waterways under the public trust doctrine. That preserves public use of waters up to where they typically meet the shore. But Rice argues the DNR's guidance is causing people to trespass on his land next to the Rock River when waters rise beyond that point. But a DNR attorney said in the letter that the agency hasn't determined where that watermark lies on his land. The agency's lawyer added the public's right to use protected waters is provided by the Wisconsin Constitution and not any policy enforced by the agency. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
As corn and soybean crops reach the critical pollination stage, continued drought could mean smaller yields this fall. The latest data from the U.S. Drought Monitor shows severe to extreme drought in much of southern Wisconsin, along with areas in the northwest. Last week, the U.S. Agriculture Secretary issued a disaster declaration for 27 counties in the state. Sean Conley from the University of Wisconsin-Madison says soybean fields are doing okay, but they'll need at least an inch of rain every week until September to reach their best yields.
If we don't get rain, we'll start seeing a yield hit on the soybean side of things. Corn is a different matter. I think we've already started to see some corn yield losses out there.
Many cornfields are beginning their week-long pollination or getting close to it. Conley says this week's extreme heat could hurt that process, which would further reduce farmers' yields. The word cheesehead is synonymous with Green Bay Packers fans, but the franchise has never owned the rights to produce the dairy-inspired headwear. Joe Schultz has more.
This week, the Packers announced the acquisition of Foamation, the company responsible for creating the now iconic foam cheesehead. Ralph Bruno created the hat in 1987 and has built the brand over the last three decades. This year, he approached the Packers as he was ready to retire. Krista Jorgensen is with the team. She says those discussions led to the acquisition of Foamation and the cheesehead.
It made sense because they are an iconic brand, the Packers are an iconic brand, and it would just kind of move us in the same direction.
In a statement, Bruno said he was pleased to pass the cheesehead brand to the Packers. The organization also plans to keep production of Foamation products in-state. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, we'll hear how a Dane County nonprofit is helping survivors of domestic abuse furnish their new homes. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on, and in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about a nonprofit helping families in the Madison area.
For many survivors of domestic abuse, finding affordable housing can be a challenge. And then finding furniture to fill that new space, that can be less of a priority. But as WPR's Gabby Vinnick reports, one nonprofit is providing families in Dane County with sofas, beds, and decor to turn their apartments into homes.
Jaisha?
Yeah.
Okay, she likes blue.
How about these?
Oh, give them those. Okay.
All right.
Oh, what about those pink light lamps?
Yeah.
It's a Saturday morning, and Felicia Denny is on a mission. She needs to find furniture for a family of two sisters. They need items like a couch, a bookshelf, and an end table. We're on the second floor of Denny's house. She and her mom are choosing furniture for a family she's never met. Their work is part of an organization she founded during the pandemic called Felicia's Donation Closet.
What we do is we fully furnish abused women and children's apartments when they move out of homelessness.
Denny and her crew of volunteers help make a family or individual's house or apartment feel like home. To date, they've furnished more than 50 apartments. What started with a potential couch for sale turned into a full-scale operation. She donated her furniture to a mother through a community shelter. And from there, the idea to create a nonprofit took off. Donations rolled in, demand soared. Denny has a full-time job, but she would spend hours driving and delivering furniture to families on weekends. And for Denny, the mission is personal.
I'm a survivor myself, and I just felt that I needed to do something back, give back to the community. Just from the experiences I went through, had I known that there were so many other resources out there, I probably wouldn't have stayed so long in some of these really horrible relationships.
At a storage unit in Wanakee, Denny is moving furniture and directing volunteers.
Okay, you guys want to grab this dresser?
Careful, hey, you're going to break that.
It's a canvas, come this way.
Denny says many of the women she works with have gone through hardships. Some are homeless, others have been raped. And she says when people finally get a job or their own apartment and come back to an empty home, it only makes it that much harder to leave the abusive situation.
That's when you always start questioning, did I make the right decision? Should I go back? Because usually the abusers would keep finances for them, and that's how they trap them.
Denise says that's why helping people during what is sometimes their most vulnerable moment is so important.
So we are that missing aspect to make that home a sanctuary for them. That way they know that they are making the right decisions, they are in the right steps, they are heading the right direction, they can just move forward and become, you know, the beautiful women that they are, that they deserve to be.
You guys might want to go the other way so you can turn it, like, come out.
Denny and her team eventually arrive at a Sun Prairie apartment and begin to unload furniture for sisters Jaisha and Jessica Edwards.
All right, it's kind of a tight squeeze.
After their mom died in 2015, the Edwards family bounced around from Chicago to Sun Prairie. Jessica says her family had been on the waiting list for a new apartment for over a year.
There's so many emotions going on right now inside of me. Like, I don't know whether to cry, smile, you know. I'm just blessed because a few years ago today, I would have never thought we would have been here.
And to top it off, their home comes fully furnished. As she looks to the future, Denny says the bigger the donation closet gets, the more families they can help.
I think when it really hits me is when we're there and then we walk in and we're done with everything and then like their whole house is filled of everything, that the moms get emotional, and that's like usually when it gets me. Because then I'm like, oh my God, don't cry. It's gonna be good now.
WPR's Gabby Vinnick brought us that story on Felicia's donation closet in Dane County. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Bridget Bowden and John Davis. You can catch us every weekday morning wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, don't forget to subscribe and leave us that rating and review. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.